it please the court.
Certainly.
I want to start by saying everything my esteemed colleague Mike Blumenthal said is true. We are on the same side of this issue here today, along with, dare I say, thousands of employers and corporations across the state of Missouri. Everybody is watching today to find out what the court's going to do to aid us in resolving this issue. I think the commission and employers alike are in a situation that's untenable. I understand the commission's position that they have, you know, thousands of charges to prosecute a year or to resolve, and it certainly makes sense that they have a difficult time determining jurisdiction on all of those charges. But at the same time, at the present time, employers are prejudiced because they don't have a means to resolve the situation as to when the timeliness issue can be raised. Let me tell you a little about the facts of my case. Rebecca Gleason is the plaintiff in an underlying civil action, and she was hired by Harrah's in 2009. She filed a charge of discrimination a year following her termination from Harrah's, and in her charge, she brings two categories of allegations. One of them concerns her termination from employment, one category, and her termination, again, occurred over a year before she filed her charge of discrimination. And then she brings a second category of allegations, and these are claims related to her unemployment proceedings that did occur within the 180 days. The alleged acts in the first category occurred 390 days prior to Gleason's charge. And so Harrah's sent a letter to the Missouri Commission, and they said that Missouri Commission didn't have jurisdiction because of the untimely nature of Category 1 of Gleason's claims.
And does the Commission generally issue right to sue letters on the entire claim, or does it go allegation by allegation? Because you're saying some on their face you believe may have been timely and on their face others untimely. Is that distinction drawn, or does the Commission just issue a right to sue letter for the whole claim?
In my practice, in 15 years, it is the charge, or the right to sue, excuse me, has always been based on the entire charge of discrimination. I've never had a situation, in fact, until this particular case, where the Missouri Commission declined to determine jurisdiction. In this case, the right to sue notice specifically said that the commission was not determining jurisdiction as to the issue of timeliness.
You think in every other case where a right to sue letter was issued in 6 months, the commission had determined?
No, excuse me. I don't know about all of the other cases in the past 6 months or a year. I do know that the commission and the circuit court alike in Cole County have varied their responses in the wake of Farrow, trying to understand what steps to take next.
Counsel, this employee either sues in circuit court within 2 years of the acts she's complaining about, or she doesn't. If she does, what interest is it that you think your clients have suffered an injury to by her failure to comply with the timeliness requirements in the administrative procedure, if any?
Well, that's a great question. You know, with the passage of time, with regard to these claims, evidence is lost. I mean, I think that there is a reason.
But the legislature decided that 2 years was a fair cutoff, as opposed to if she had been a patron and slipped and fell, all of your same arguments would apply, but the limitation would be much longer, wouldn't it?
Well, correct. Here, though, in this circumstance, we have a third party. I mean, we have the Missouri Commission, which is essentially, you know, I've said to clients before, it's a clearinghouse for claims of employment discrimination. And you have to go through this step first.
But are they there to protect the employer, or are they there to take, in essence, a first option on the employee's claim?
Well, I think both. I think that it allows the employer an opportunity to have notice of the claim, and it allows the employee to choose whether they want to go through the administrative process or they want to file their case in civil court.
And the employee chose, and how does that injure your client at all? as long as she sues within 2 years.
Well, in this case, here we have untimely claims, and we don't have a remedy to address those claims.
But the question is, how are you prejudiced if, in fact, it was untimely? If the commission didn't address that at their level and it goes to circuit court, how would you be prejudiced if the circuit court were not allowed to relook at that issue? Because you still have the 2-year statute of limitations. What's the loss to your client? What's the harm?
Well, here, in our case, we are litigating claims that are untimely, and we don't have a remedy to go before the circuit court.
Yeah, I know you think they have to be untimely, but how are you prejudiced by their untimeliness?
Because in the wake of FARO, we cannot go to the circuit court issue.
I understand that, but as a factual matter, on these particular facts, was there any harm to your client by the delay? Did you lose evidence between the 6 months and 2 years? Is there some reason the 2-year statute of limitations is not adequate to protect your client on the particular facts, and so you were harmed by the failure to comply with, in your view, with the 6-month requirement for filing with the commission?
Well, I think that all employers are prejudiced. Maybe we're not communicating very well, but in this situation, we are litigating claims that are untimely.
What you're saying is you're prejudiced if the court doesn't give you an administrative bar.
Correct.
But the question is whether the administrative bar is intended by the legislature to preclude a suit in court.
Can you repeat that question?
Is there a real practical prejudice other than you think you have an administrative bar? Is there a real prejudice when the statute of limitations is 2 years to raising your claim so long as it's raised within that 2 years? Ignoring that you think you ought to preclude them from going forward.
Well, again, in this situation, we have an employee who has not been with the employer for over a year, and now she's bringing claims related to her termination from employment. And I do think we're prejudiced. I think that there's a reason for the 180-day requirement.
And what's that reason?
To give employers notice of the claim and to give them an opportunity to respond.
And if her claims here are that various things happened earlier in her employment that ultimately led to her termination later on, and so they're related to each other, and so they're not barred, if the court were to find they're related, they might all be timely. You're asking that the court, so kind of switching gears a little bit, you're suggesting it's a ministerial duty, I think, on the part of the agency to determine timeliness, but determining timeliness is not as seldom that simple. It's not ministerial. You don't look at the date it was filed and the date of the allegation. You look at the relationship of the allegations here, where the termination was within the time, and they're alleging, whether they can show it or not, that the earlier allegations of discrimination are related to the termination, and so they should all be considered timely. That's far from administrative or ministerial. That's a part of the merits determination, isn't it?
I agree with that. And you're talking about the continuing violation theory. I do agree that the commission is overloaded.
It's set up that way, isn't it? After 6 months, they know you're going to be issuing the right to sue letter if people want to proceed. So it's not that they failed in an administrative duty, is it? The setup recognizes that all the cases won't be gotten to during that time.
Well, I think it depends on how you read FARO.
In the statute, it's not FARO.
Under the statute. Under this circumstance, I agree that it should go to the merits. I agree that the issue of timeliness should be resolved before the circuit court in the civil litigation matter, like it was before and like it still is in federal court cases.
Let me take one more run at this, because it's not an easy question. But if you're right, and the administrative process is there to protect the employer by giving them early notice, then I don't see what the 2-year statute, what purpose it serves at all. Because you could require the administrative filing within 180 days, as it does, You could require the administrative process to go to whatever conclusion the legislature thinks it should, whatever alternatives it has, which results either in a conclusion or a 90-day right to sue letter. But the two-year statute adds no protection to that, unless the two-year statute is there for the employer's benefit and the entire administrative proceeding is there for the employee's benefit. And therefore, you lack the standing, you lack the injury, you pick whatever doctrine you want, but you are not aggrieved by any failure on the part of the employee with respect to the commission as long as the employee sues within the 2 years. That's one way to reconcile. Do you see another?
Well, I understand what you're saying, Your Honor. I wasn't prepared to talk about the 2 year statute of limitations here because I was concerned about the timeliness issue with regard to the right to sue notice and the claims that are being brought before the commission. And so I am not prepared to discuss whether the 2 year statute of limitation is adequate. That is the way I've been practicing for years.
Is there anything in the statute, if there wasn't the 2 year limitation, that would compel someone who got the right to sue letter to file suit within any set period to cut off the time that the process might take?
Do you have 90 days to sue after the issuance of the right to sue letter?
That's correct.
So you already have that. And so that would keep the process from going on. So again, I know you're not prepared, but does anything come to mind as to what the purpose of the two-year statute of limitation is?
No, I mean, I with regard to the two-year statute of limitations, that is just the way we have been practicing, and I am not prepared to discuss that today. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm concerned about the timeliness issue with regard to the underlying claims filed by plaintiffs in these cases and how we resolve that issue.
Have our prior cases indicated that the purpose of the administrative process is to address problems with discrimination in employment that, as initially passed, the act did not allow private suits, just allowed you to file claims, and the commission would look at them as a whole to try to remedy discrimination, and then they started allowing individual claims, sort of like mini attorney general kind of claims, so that because the commission couldn't do everything in itself, so it was for the employee that they added this right to bring individual actions to expand the scope of the prior more policy-oriented approach taken by the statute to look broadly at claims of discrimination in Missouri.
Yes, that's my understanding.
Thank you. We'll hear from you on rebuttal.
May it please the Court. The Commission would agree with Mr. Murphy when he points out that a claim that comes to the Commission that is not timely lacks a remedy at the Commission. That is, the Commission's ability to grant a remedy is entirely dependent on a matter being brought to the Commission within the 180 days allowed by the statute. The Commission, on the other hand, does not take a position here with regard to what happens in circuit court after a right to sue letter issues and someone goes to circuit court, whether how the two-year statute of limitation interacts with the 180-day provision. That's not really the Commission's business in terms of this litigation. It may be the members of the Commission have some broader concern about that and may have some view, but the Commission does not take a position with regard to that. The Commission takes a position only with regard to its own authority. We would not, however, endorse the concept that an employer could use 536.150 to challenge timeliness independent of the right to sue letter process or as a result of the right to sue letter. In this circumstance, in the circumstance in Tivo Plaza, in the vast majority of circumstances, the only thing that a right to sue letter means is that the Commission has not yet finished its administrative process. Now, the Commission can, as Judge Wilson pointed out, it can kind of cherry-pick cases and say, you know, we really like that case. And if the commission acts fast enough to resolve its, to get through the administrative process, issue a finding of probable cause, go through conciliation within the 180 days, then the commission actually gets to keep that case. It will proceed administratively rather than going to circuit court. I don't know if that ever happens anymore. It may have happened in one day. It may still happen occasionally, but as far as I know, that is not the way the things happen these days. And in part, that's because, again, the commission just doesn't have the resources to handle the caseload.
And but they do keep and resolve claims where the claimant does not ask for 180
absolutely.
Day left.
And those will often be claims where there is no attorney. No attorney has come in, and so the commission, and this is true not just of the Commission on Human Rights, it's true of various administrative agencies in the state of Missouri. We set those up in part on the theory that these administrative judges will help people get through the process without hiring an attorney. Doesn't always work that way, but the theory is that it would be easier to go through it. And here certainly it is, because the commission, that is the attorney general on behalf of the commission, becomes the advocate, becomes the lawyer advocating on behalf of relief for this complaint.
Is a timely filing before the commission jurisdictional, or is it a statutory requirement to afford relief?
Well, I think it is a statutory requirement for providing relief. I don't know how to say whether it's jurisdictional or not, because the commission's jurisdiction is very broad, except with regard to relief for a particular complainant.
Would it deprive a circuit court of jurisdiction if something were not timely filed? Is it something that can be waived? The lack of timeliness.
That would be a question that the commission has not taken a position on. That is, the commission has not come into court and said, okay, we're done, we gave you the right to sue letter, now let's take a position as to what that leaves you. I don't say the commission couldn't come into court and take a position on that, but the commission is not doing that here. That, like the two-year statute of limitations, that's a question to be resolved in circuit court by the litigants, and not by the commission, which is trying to act to the best of its ability within the mandate that the legislature has given to the commission.
So you wouldn't overrule Farrell. You would just distinguish Farrell under these facts.
That would be fine. Frankly, the problem in Farrell is one sentence that is overbroad given the facts that were before the court in that case. And
you think Farrell works for under 180 days,
yes.
Not for over?
Yes, because...
Is that what...
And actually, that goes a little bit to this question that you posed, Justice, about whether the commission issues right-to-sue letters that are limited to particular claims or aspects of a claim. And it's my understanding the commission now does that. I don't know how long the commission has been doing that, if it did that before Farrell. But that makes sense when you have a complaint that is filed that has multiple elements to it, and before the 180 days runs, the commission has completed its administrative processing as to some but not all of the elements of a complaint. So let's suppose that that in this case, that there were two entirely separate, completely unrelated events. I don't know that that's true, but let's assume that that's true. And then the commission might have determined that these earlier events, you know, they really weren't connected, and so we're going to finish our administrative processing. We're going to say there's no probable causes to those. And in that instance, the commission would only issue a right to sue letter as to the elements where the administrative processing was incomplete.
So it would have to issue a no probable causes to the others, otherwise the whole thing would be certified.
I think that that's right under Martin Erb,
right, because
that would have to happen. There would have right. to be some kind of an indication.
They have to either resolve it or certify it.
And that, under Martin Erb, could then be challenged under 536.150 mm-hmm. if someone had an objection to that.
To that. Right.
Yes. Let me just close with this plea. Prior to Farrell, the commission was not dragged into these cases after the commission's work was done. There are currently 86 petitions pending in which the commission has to appear. The commission in every one of those is simply saying, look, we hadn't finished administrative processing. I don't think there are any in which there's actually a challenge about that. The commission doesn't need that workload. It is not helpful to the system. It's not helpful to employers. It's not helpful to employees to drag the commission into that. The commission has other work to do. Please let the commission do that work. Thank you.
In closing, Harrah's or Caesar's is asking the court for one of two things. Hold that the timeliness defense is preserved so that we can bring it at the circuit court level in the case in chief on the merits, or reverse the circuit court's judgment dismissing the petition for preliminary and permanent writ of mandamus and remand the case with instructions to the circuit court to issue the writ of mandamus compelling the Missouri Commission to vacate the right to sue letter that was issued to Gleason and demand that the commission determine whether it has jurisdiction over Gleason's allegations.
And what would be the commission's authority to do that under the statute?
Well, under the statute...
Because it says they can't take any action once they issue the 180-day letter and they have to issue it.
Well, it would be 536-150, because we're claiming that the Missouri Commission rendered a decision that is ministerial and that they need to follow through by determining jurisdiction.
But they can't. And we just determined it wasn't ministerial here because it's a complex issue. But also, they have no authority. I mean, they can't act outside their authority. They're not a court. They're a commission. Yep.
And I understand that, and I agree with that finding, so long as employers are able to bring the timeliness issue before the
circuit
court.
I understand it puts the employer in a difficult position, but I'm just, as a practical matter, and I understand from what Mr. Layton said in all these 86 cases, I mean, is there any remedy the court can give other than order the commission to act beyond its statutory authority?
Well, it can state that we can bring this before the circuit court as a defense to the case. Okay. Nothing further, unless anyone has questions.
Thank you. Case is adjourned.